This talk is a little bit about the common sense and discrimination from the perspective of the person who's guiding or assisting. First, we have to explore a little bit, at least in some words, whether a person is actually is drawn to guiding another, whether should be in the first place. Generally speaking, this person needs to have reached a fairly high level of realization and attainment, and then has to have gotten the understanding and practice of what it is to assist somebody, and then has to be led toward that, and then has to be accepted into a school of transmission, and then has to follow that course more and more. And then, like a student teacher outwardly, has to learn the classroom, learn the ropes of how to deal with people, so they have to go through these preliminaries before they can actually assist and guide somebody. Further, they really have to have that initiatic transmission from the inner planes and that calling that is real, rather than a satisfaction of simple desire. And one of the things you find that is very, very common in people who have gone a ways in realization and in spiritual experiences, they begin to say, oh, this is wonderful. This solves so many of my problems. Oh, I want to help other people. And while many times this is rooted in service and self-sacrifice, many also other times is placing oneself higher than another, and is very, very premature. I would say that many of the people that I see who are so-called teachers, guides, by whatever names they are, have not reached the level of that they're seeking and don't know through their own experience what they're talking about. So if you're drawn in this capacity, make sure that you have the background and the understanding and it isn't acting from other secondary motives. Now, assuming the person is very well qualified and able to act, and one of the keys, one of the things to consider in this is an old statement. It says, if a person desires to be a teacher or guide, if the person wants to be, then that's an indication that they are disqualified. They disqualify themselves. There shouldn't be any need to convey. There shouldn't be any desire to convey. And just the opposite, it's almost as if the person needs to reach the point where they don't want to personally become that assister or guider before they're able to do that. In other words, the desires to help in that capacity are gone. To feel as though they need to convey those things. If that determines how the person's acting, then I suggest the person take another long, long look and step back from what they're doing. This is just one of the small keys to look for. Beyond that's the understanding that if you are indeed called and have gone through the preparatory process of being an assister, recognize the limitations of what you can do or not. Now, many people are put out in the field, so to speak, and they are helping other people, and they haven't reached the end of their own training. And they aren't able to see, as a result of that, the entire perspective of what the individual coming to them needs. And so this limits how they can be of help. What really needs to be is a consistent transmission, a consistent work in which if there's somebody within the organization or teaching or transmission or order, whatever it happens to be called, who really knows, really got it, really understands and feels the way, who's grown to be effective, who has shown through practice and their practical effects, and has shown through the people's realization, not their own, but that it's actually conveyed to somebody else, has all those abilities, then this person really needs to actively monitor and assist somebody else who's learning to be like this. Don't just put them out there and see what happens. In addition, those decisions that a person who is learning makes, they have to be monitored so you can see their perceptions. Now, assuming that you're with, and those people that you come in contact with are going to be most likely of a lesser station than the highest ones within the organization or transmission or order. Now, one of the considerations that a person must have when somebody comes to them is whether it's they're appropriate with that person so-called seeking or approaching the group or teaching is appropriate for that. And what you'll find is in most cases, people who come say that they are seeking spiritual realization, seeking guidance, seeking assistance, who want to reach a certain level, actually don't know what they're talking about and actually are looking for something else. And part of the reason is that the individual hasn't gone through the inner discriminating experiences of what they really want and really desire. So this points to the other talk from the perspective of the one who is seeking guidance. The more clear you are and understand what it is that the spiritual path is about, and the more clear you are in understanding and feeling and committing yourself to the real, the higher and greater will you be person being will you be drawn to. So from the perspective of the teacher or guide or assister, and I use that word, assisting one to remember again, to become again, the first step is to evaluate the individual who is coming to you, whether that person is appropriate for the situation or not. It's much like if you were to be offering guidance and swimming in at an Olympic level of racing and be able to assist people through that process, and somebody comes to you and says, well, I want to become an Olympic race swimmer, and they haven't yet learned how to swim, or they have rudimentary strokes, or have no idea of what it really takes in terms of commitment and effort and practice to go through the levels and stages of becoming an Olympic or world-class swimmer, then that's a good indication that they're not ready, they're not appropriate for the particular teaching or guidance or assisting of the one who's that level of coach. And so it's not a personal repudiation when you say to the individual, well, go get your practice first, go to a swim coach here or there, go learn these basic strokes, get a better understanding of what it is like to go through practices, get your basic strength built up, find what it takes to commit yourself to a course of physical training, and then when you reach a certain level and you're able to swim at a certain speed, whether you have these strokes developed, then come back to me. Then see me. Then I can be of some assistance to you. Or if the person is saying, well, I want to become a doctor, they don't go to medical school, and if they're sitting, and if the one who's doing the assessing is, let's, for example, the dean of admissions, and somebody comes and says, well, I want to become a doctor, and says, well, that's fine. Have you gone to college yet? He says, no. Have you taken these courses in mathematics and in physics and in chemistry and so forth? He says, no. Do you want to take these? No, I don't want to take physics. I don't want to take chemistry. I don't want to take mathematics. I don't want to take biology. So in that person, the case, the person is not only limiting themselves, but eliminating themselves from these courses. So again, it takes just a lot of common sense to discriminate between one who comes and what they really want to do. And you do this directly or by asking questions, finding out outwardly what the individual is seeking, and perhaps giving them an opportunity to associate also and get a greater feeling of what's going on. Most important is that the individual doing the assessing must have the ability to see and know and feel the actual condition of the individual who's seeking from an inner, unspoken manner. They must be able to consider it and know and feel it and see it and realize it and recognize it without any words from the individual who's coming to them. Then it's only using the outer process as means either to confirm those realizations and understanding or to help bring that understanding, convey that to the person who's seeking so then they can discriminate and go further and make the correct decisions. Or at least get an understanding of where they are, a basic one, and what's needed to go further. Simply because somebody comes to the door and knocks on the door and comes in to a class or a or says, I'm looking for XYZ, and they use a certain set of words, it does not mean that because they're there that they are appropriate. So this is the very, very first level of discrimination that needs to be done. And I've got to reiterate and emphasize again, for a person to really act clearly as a guide and an assister, the person must be able to recognize and know the condition and feel the stage of the individual without any words that are spoken. So this is the beginning step.